If you listen to KTXK radio from Texarkana College, you'll hear ads for historic Washington State Park and all the various activities that they offer. For instance, later today, you can go to Old Washington for an introduction to forging workshop. And I'm fairly confident that forging means shaping metal and not printing your own money. I'm told, however, that it is the Civil War reenactment weekend, November 5th and 6th, mark your calendars, that is the busiest at Washington, and probably will be even more busy this year as we celebrate the beginning of the 150th anniversary of the war between the states. Men and women from all over the area dress up in period costume and commemorate events that happened a century and a half ago. Now, I bring this up because I think it's a good analogy for the way that many people, both inside the church and outside the church, tend to look at the Christian faith. They see Christianity as a religion that commemorates events that happened a long time ago in a land far away. Now, of course, our faith is based on a firm historical foundation. We just heard the account of how the women went to the cemetery early on the first day of the week, expecting to find a body. And as they grew near to the tomb on Easter morning, they found that the stone had been rolled away. The tomb was open. Angel, perhaps, has incredibly good news, telling the women that Jesus has risen from the dead as he promised he would. And this is the event that Christians joyfully remember last night and today. Now, this idea that Christianity is concerned with the past is also reinforced by our own memories of Easter. It may be that Easter brings back wistful memories of people who once shared your life but are now numbered among the faithful departed. The familiar hymns, the familiar words from the prayer book, and even the sort of churchy smell that hovers in the air may trigger powerful memories for you. But as treasured as these memories are, the significance of Easter and the Christian faith is more profound than mere commemoration of past events, whether those are events from our own history or from sacred history recorded in the scripture. Attempting to relive the past might be good enough for Civil War buffs, but it cannot be good enough for Christians. Christianity is not a collection of ancient tales. It is a living faith, and it's a living faith because the one who was crucified lives. The body that was pierced by nail and spear is alive. That's the good news. Jesus, who was stone cold dead, now lives. The tomb is empty, the stone is rolled away, death has lost its grip on humanity. The disgrace of death has been swallowed up in this victory. Our tears of grief are wiped away by the hand of God. Jesus lives. And because he lives, he has meaning for our life in the here and now. And I can think of a couple things. First, it means that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the resurrection. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only gate to heaven. He is the source of salvation. Talk is plentiful. Resurrections are rare. Wise gurus, moral philosophers, charismatic leaders are a dime a dozen. But men who rise from the dead after being nailed to a tree are quite another matter. It's impossible to ignore the resurrection. You cannot leave the resurrection with your brain stuck in neutral. There is no neutral position on a crucified and risen Jesus. Either he has to be confessed and adored as Lord and Christ, and his every command followed with joyful obedience, or he must be dismissed as a hoax and a fraud. It means, the resurrection does, that Jesus is who he says he is. It also means that he is true to his word. He said he would rise from the dead in 3 days, and he did, contrary to the expectations of his thick-headed disciples. And that means that we can take him at his word when he says that those who follow him and put their trust in him will be saved. Or when he says the bread of his supper really is his body and the wine really is his blood, and that whoever eats and drinks his blood will eat and live in his heavenly kingdom forever. Those promises are sure. You can live and die with them. Christ will not lie to you. He will not deceive you. Men will deceive and lie to you. But Christ's word is true, and he is true to his word. Christianity is a living faith, a faith for the here and now. So we've had the Dickens carol of Easter here, Easter past, Easter present. What about Easter yet to come? Christianity is not only a living faith for the present day, but it is a faith that is vitally concerned about the future, about the ultimate destiny of your soul. You know, people have different ideas of immortality. There's some people that think that immortality comes through biology. A person lives on through the various bits of DNA that he passes on to his descendants, and which they in turn pass on to their descendants. But surely that is a very poor sort of immortality. At death, my genetics might live on in someone else, but my personality, my character, my history, who I am, is gone forever. Immortality does not come through biology. Others say that we're immortal as long as we're remembered. Beethoven, for instance, is immortal as long as symphonies play his works. Monet is immortal as long as galleries hang his picture. But again, that isn't immortality. Someday, Beethoven's symphonies will no longer be heard. Monet's pictures will turn to dust. And quite frankly, friends, you and I are not Beethoven or Manet, are we? Chances are, within a few generations of our death, we will be forgotten. So immortality does not come in mankind's memory. The Christian view of immortality is quite different and infinitely more wonderful. Elsewhere in Scripture, St. Paul calls Jesus the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. And the first fruits are like the first tomato to ripen on the vine. They're a sign that more tomatoes are coming. And our Lord's resurrection means that more rising to the dead will come. And because Jesus is risen from the grave, you and I will one day rise from our graves and have eternal life. Christianity is always gazing ahead to a future with God. That's the good news. And that is why we sing out our alleluias today. Let me conclude by bringing things back to the present. You know, in a very real sense, you and I are living in eternal life now. It's not something that only happens in the future. It begins now and carries on to the future. And eternal life is not earned. It's a free gift that comes from being in relationship with Jesus. And we need to be very careful not to be careless about eternal things. The relationship that we establish with Jesus now will be the relationship that we carry with us into eternity. And a relationship with Jesus is like every other relationship. It doesn't just happen. It has to be worked at. And that's what we do every Sunday, which is a little Easter. We build relationships. We listen to Jesus' words. We eat and drink at his table. We rub shoulders with his brothers and sisters week by week. And we do these things so that one day we may come to that eternal Eastertide that we call heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.